Blog Talk Radio.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies with angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hark, the herald angels sing.
Hark, the herald.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Christmas has arrived. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. That's a great way to wake up, isn't it? Wow. But today is Christmas Day 7. Merry Christmas, December 31st. This is the last day of December, and we're heading right into January and the new year. So that's tomorrow. Can you believe that? So today is New Year's Eve. And it's the feast of St. Pope Sylvester I. And we will get into his story here in just a few moments. On Easter Day, St. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king. Invited to sit down and parley, the pagan priest offered St. Patrick a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, St. Patrick did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison dumping out the poison. Again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal. With everyone watching, the pagan king was converted. And St. Francis Xavier, by the sign of the cross, made seawater fresh so that his fellow companions, his fellow passengers, and the crew could drink it. May we be so empowered by this great faith. And so let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, who has poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word, grant that the same light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, who commanded us to honor our parents, have mercy on the souls of my father and mother. Forgive their sins, and let me see them again one day in the joy of the eternal light. For Christ our Lord, amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family. Amen. Pope Saint, Saint Pope Sylvester, Jesus told his apostles, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The readings for Mass today, the seventh day in the octave of Christmas, the first reading, 1 John chapter 2, 18 through 21, and I know this one very well. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of our number. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Their desertion shows that none of them was of our number. But you have the anointing that comes from the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do, and because every lie is alien to the truth. In the responsorial psalm, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Announce his salvation day after day. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it surround resound. Let the plains be joyful, and all that is in them. Then shall all the trees of the forest exult before the Lord. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. The Lord comes. He comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice, and the peoples with his constancy. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. But to those who accepted him, he gave power to become the children of God. Alleluia, alleluia. And the Gospel, John, according to John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Son, the glory as of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And now, the Pope St. Gregory's story. One of my favorite early church leaders was Pope Sylvester I. He was raised through the terrible persecutions of the Christians. St. Sylvester was born in Rome around the year 250. Sylvester was the first Pope of Rome to reign entirely under the liberty of the Church, guaranteed by the Edict of Milan in 313. Sylvester became Pope in 314 after Pope Vigilius died and reigned until 335. He is remembered in particular for the Council of Nicaea, the baptism of Constantine, and the triumph of the Church. Sylvester was put under the care of a priest to be formed in the practice of religion and sacred scripture. He enjoyed providing shelter to Christians passing through the city and would take them with him, wash their feet, serve them at table, and give them all the care needed in the name of Christ. One of the Christians that Sylvester hosted was Timothy of Antioch, that's the illustrious confessor of the faith. When he arrived in Rome, no one dared to receive him, but Sylvester considered it an honor. For a year, Timothy preached the gospel of Jesus Christ with great zeal, while Sylvester selflessly shared his own home. After Timothy died as a martyr, Sylvester buried his remains, but was quickly accused of having hidden the martyr's treasures, and the governor had him imprisoned. In reply to the accusation, Sylvester said, Timothy left to me only the heritage of his faith and courage. A memorable story from Sylvester's pontificate involved Constantine, who was attacked by leprosy. He was still a pagan at the time, and unconcerned for the Christians, whose doctrine was entirely unknown to him. One night, St. Peter and St. Paul appeared to him and commanded him to call for Pope Sylvester, who would cheer him by giving him baptism. He obeyed, and the Pope baptized him, with which came Constantine's conversion. Sylvester also performed numerous miracles, including reviving some men killed by a dragon and resuscitating a bull that had been killed by scribes. He understood what hardship was. He had friends and associates who died at the hands of the Romans. He himself was a Roman. All that would get you was a quick beheaded like St. Paul. December 31st is the feast of St. Sylvester I, who served as Pope between January 31st, 314 AD, to December 31st, 335. He became a bridge between the terrible persecutions of the Romans and the conversion of the Roman Empire. For many religious, it was a death sentence to accept physicians in the church. St. Sylvester was the Bishop of Rome at a very important time in history, especially church history. Constantine's conversion, was it real? What was the chief influence? This writer believes it was real because of the evidence of history. Constantine's mother, St. Helena, was a Christian and did have an effect on Constantine, who had been in the court of Diocletian. Constantine burned bishops to the stake, but as he did so, he began to develop a respect for their faith. With his mother becoming a Christian, he became more open to the faith. St. Helena discovered the true cross in Jerusalem. Through a pre-planned event, she had torches lighted, beginning from the hilltops from Jerusalem, going all the way to Rome, to report word of their finding to Constantine. Some confused Constantine's true conversion, or his true position, claiming he was the founder of Catholicism and the first pope, but that is utter nonsense, coming from those who are agenda-bound and not seeking truth. In fact, Constantine would be seen as an earthly Catholic head of state. President Ronald Reagan, if President Donald Trump were to convert to the Catholic faith, this would neither make him a pope or a founder to bring this accusation and false claim contemporary. St. Peter, the first pope, states, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts chapter 2:38. Some have argued that this baptism of Jesus would be in the name only, which is a mistranslation of the text. The baptism of Jesus was to be a clear separation of the baptism of St. John the Baptist. Jesus is clear to how the baptism of Jesus is to be conducted. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. St. Eusebius baptized Constantine as an older man. It is what he did when he became emperor that established his Christian beliefs. It is believed that a sign from Christ appeared as a cross in the sky with the words, "By this sign you shall conquer." Constantine placed the cross on the shields of his soldiers. Constantine routs the battle at the Milvian Bridge, even though he was outmanned and his forces were not as well equipped. The enemy dies trying to flee back over the Tiber River. This would become very important during the papal reign of Saint Sylvester. Constantine was determined to grant Christianity freedom. The church received property and funds that had been confiscated. The Edict of Milan gave the church freedom to come out of the catacombs, the caves, and the homes. St. Peter's was built by Constantine in honor of the martyrdom of St. Peter at Vatican Hill in 67 AD. A mountain was moved literally to build this monument in honor of where the remains of St. Peter were laid to rest. St. John Lateran was made the Pope's cathedral. This is very important because St. Sylvester was receiving great favor from the Roman Emperor. The Pope sent delegates to represent him at the Council of Ayres in 314 AD, wanting to end the Donatist schism. Trouble began to brew again with another heresy, which began storming the land as a deacon named Arius was causing a mighty stir. The Council of Nicaea was called to end the division. St. Sylvester sent two emissaries who represented his authority and concerns. He was an older man by this time and was not able to make such a trip. There were about 300 bishops from the known world who gathered for this great council. The finished product was the defining teaching of the Trinity and the Nicene Creed. There was a number of disciplines that were debated among them that granted forgiveness to apostates who caved into the Roman persecutions. Many of the bishops suffered greatly, and this was a major issue. Ultimately, the church granted repentance to those who would return. St. Sylvester was the 32nd successor to St. Peter. Being an older man, broken due to the sufferings he received, he served the church as the Lord's chief steward for about 21 years. He maintained the unity of the church, showing himself a man of peace, forgiveness, and humility, his love for the liturgy and the Mass. He continued to improve devotion. He built schools and cemeteries, placed monuments over the sites of the martyrs. The saints of the early church speaks loudly against those who want to rewrite history and tell the lies of men. The Catholic faith is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The saints bear witness to the truth. Saint Sylvester the First, his feast day is celebrated on December 31st. In memory of his death in 335. And Jesus prayed on the night he was betrayed. I do not pray for those only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to behold my glory, which you have given me, may be with me where I am to behold my glory, which you have given me in your love for me before the foundation of the world. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 24. Wow. That's why Jesus prayed. And that's amazing. Jesus says, he's acknowledging that the Father loves us as he loves Jesus. You know, that is, John John is all of, he's about the love of the Father, the love of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. And that's where we stand today. And as we celebrate Christmas, we're in day 7 of Christmas. This has been Day for Truth. And what a great blessing this has been. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. That's what the angel of Portugal had taught the children of Fatima. My God, excuse me. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, or do not love you. And what, I mean, that's a simple little prayer, but it's powerful. And so make the Mass the center of your life. Receive the sacraments. Go to confession. It is what I call the mercy seat of God. You receive a judgment in the confessional, a judgment of mercy, which Jesus will honor when you stand before him to face his justice. How important is that? When I stand before him at that time, at that moment, I certainly, when I stand before him to face his justice, I certainly want his mercy. Oh, that's why it's so important for us to make confession, not just a regular habit, but a way of life, and to receive the Eucharist, the actual body, blood, soul, divinity. And what does Jesus say about that? He said those who receive his body, he will raise on the last day. Wow. Story of St. Sylvester the First. Now, God be praised in the glory of his saints and his holy Catholic Church. Make the Mass the center of your life and pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. God be with you. And Merry Christmas as we continue with the season.
Thank you.
All right. On Easter Day, St. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king. Invited to sit down and parley, the pagan priest offered St. Patrick a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, St. Patrick did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison, dumping out the poison. St. Patrick again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal, with everyone watching. The pagan king was converted. And St. Francis Xavier, by the sign of the cross, made seawater fresh so that his fellow passengers and the crew could drink it. May we be so empowered by this great faith as we close today's Bertruth episode. Christmas has arrived. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. So as we end, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. And sending your Son to redeem mankind, to save us. Thank you, Lord. If you're traveling today, safe journey. Good day.